Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks Podcast on KMBZ.
So we will continue to follow developments in the arrest of the suspect in the Charlie Kirk killing.
He's been charged.
I know he's been charged,
He's
been charged with aggravated murder, if I'm not mistaken, and a couple of other charges, a gun charge, etc. Comedy Central has pulled a recent South Park episode from its rotation in the wake of Charlie Kirk's fatal shooting. The South Park episode, which is a rerun featuring one of the show's main characters, Eric Cartman, doing a parody of Kirk, was pulled from the network's scheduled rotation following Kirk's death. The episode originally aired in early August, was scheduled for a rerun on Wednesday night. Although the episode was pulled from Comedy Central's rotation, it is still available on demand and on Paramount Plus. By the way, Charlie Kirk, when he saw it, the episode that aired, which was a parody about him, said it was, quote, hilarious.
Said he loved it.
Yep.
A high school football coach in Eastern Iowa has resigned, saying he hopes the move forces the school to cancel the entire football season. Coach Corey Quayle posted on Facebook Wednesday night and confirmed he had resigned as head coach of the Highland football team for player safety. And we've seen this in other cases before. He writes, quote, "I tendered my resignation with the hope that it will force the decision to not play another game for player protection this season. Participation numbers are too low. Injuries have accrued. It was not safe to be out on that field last Friday night. And anyone who saw us trying to put receivers in lineman jerseys would agree. That scenario is not going to change over the course of this year. I will not put our kids in an unsafe place to selfishly build an ego for competition."
Well, we saw that down in, not Paola, but was it Osawatomie, I think it was, last season, where they didn't have enough players coming out.
Or the players they did have are freshmen and sophomores.
Going up against seniors on other high schools, and that would be dangerous in and of itself. I don't know why in those smaller school districts or the smaller high schools, for example, take Osawatomie, and I think I'm right about that they canceled their varsity season ago. Why they don't just have the Osawatomie kids play with the Paola kids?
Yeah, combine the teams.
Same team.
Combine the teams.
Right, you know, I mean, let's say we've got 20 kids going out for Osawatomie. That's definitely not enough to field an offense and a defense, and if a lot of them are freshmen, let the freshmen go play on the Paola team, which is just across the county. And, you know, the seniors, juniors, they can play on the varsity team if they can make it. I don't know why you just cancel a season. And don't get me wrong, I didn't play high school football with any illusion that I was ever going to play for KU or Nebraska or, let's be honest, Baker. I just played for fun. I played because I wanted to play football.
I think the issue would be it takes some planning for those students to play for another school. I went to Catholic grade school, so there were other Catholic schools in the area that were not as big as mine. And we had students from two different schools play on our team.
Did you really?
Yeah, because they literally did not have enough boys in each grade to field a football team, and so we brought them in.
So, I mean, how much planning does that take, though, Sam? I mean, if you're Paola and the kids across the county in Osawatomie, and I don't even think they're that far apart, if the kids over in Osawatomie don't have enough players to field a team, why can't you just say, hey, guys, here's the planning.
But
hey, guys, come on over.
The field is then going to dramatically shrink because they used to be competitors. So now that they're on the same team, if you have two other smaller school teams over here that are, you know what I'm saying, it is going to narrow the number of Friday night lights events you're going to have in those smaller towns.
What I'm saying is if Osawatomie is just going to categorically cancel their entire varsity football season, that has already limited your number of competitors.
Yeah, you're right.
So why not just bring those kids over?
Now, I think it would make more sense for them to move into an eight-man league, which there are plenty of, especially in rural areas.
Not on the eastern side here, I don't think. I mean, the eight-man football is pretty popular out west, but that's with really much smaller schools, I think.
Hmm. Okay.
If I'm not mistaken. I'm looking at a map of Miami County.
I'm proud of the coach for what he did. And one of the things he said was, to say that I'm, quote, quitting on these kids is wildly inaccurate. I'm doing this for the kids.
Good for him. If he truly believes that, then good for him. By the way, Paola and Osawatomie are not very far away from each other at all. At all.
Anyway, too many injuries. We'll see where it goes. Listen to this story I found from the New York Times, and I want to know how you think we stop this. And the answer is, for me, I think you can't, but we'll see. Listen to the title of the article. The doctors are real. The doctors are real. The sales pitches are frauds. Dr. Robert Lustig is an endocrinologist, a professor emeritus of pediatrics at the University of California, and an author of best-selling books on obesity. He is absolutely not, despite what you see and hear on Facebook, hawking, quote, liquid pearls with dubious claims about weight loss. No injections, no surgery, just results, he appears to say in one advertisement. Someone is using artificial intelligence to make videos that imitate real doctors without the doctor's knowledge, let alone consent. The posts are part of a global surge of frauds hijacking the online personas of prominent medical professionals to sell all kinds of unproven health products or simply swindle gullible customers.
Don't we call that Dr. Oz?
Yes. While healthcare has long attracted quackery, AI tools developed by big tech are enabling the people behind these impersonations to reach millions of people online and to profit from them. The result is seeding disinformation, undermining trust in the profession, and potentially endangering patients. How furious would you be if you are Dr. Lustig or any of the other physicians this is happening to, and you are scrolling through Facebook and you see yourself hawking some supplement?
Is this AI?
Yes, they've used.
Is that not against the law?
Him, but it's not him, but it is him.
Isn't that against the law? You're using my likeness, making me say that. That's
law
fraud.
Has not caught up with any of this.
Well, and you're right
even,
about that.
Even if the law did catch up with it, who's to say that the people are somehow within the boundaries of the United States that are doing the fraud? They're probably not. This could be anywhere in the world.
But could you not almost sue Facebook or X or
good luck
TikTok for putting up my likeness, putting my reputation on the line, selling snake oil?
The social media sites are protected from that.
There are now hundreds of tools designed to recreate someone's image and voice.
Totally not where I thought that story was going when you read the headline.
Oh, I just...
What's to stop a doctor from in the future from promoting a medication? We learn that it's actually harmful. Oh, no, that was AI.
Listen to this.
I didn't promote that.
Dr. Gemma Newman, a family physician and author of two books about nutrition and health, took to Instagram in April to warn her followers that her likeness has been altered to make it seem like she's promoting capsules of vitamin B12 and 9,000 milligrams of pure nutrient-rich beetroot. Dr. Newman was horrified. Her likeness is pushing the supplement, one that could be harmful in high doses.
Well, anything can be harmful in high doses.
And plays on women's insecurities, implying the pills could, quote, make them feel desirable, admired, and confident. The video was so realistic, her own mother believed it was her.
Drink enough water, it's harmful.
Yeah, you can die of water intoxication.
Focus!
Well, I just take issue with the, you know, that I'm promoting something, even though I know it's not her promoting it, that if taken in high doses can kill you. That's everything on this planet. If taken in high doses, it can kill you. Anyway. All right. We have Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news. That is brought to you by Q39, serving championship barbecue pit to plate. Go to Q39KC.com.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
By the way, if you're headed out to the Chiefs and Eagles game on Sunday, you will hear another voice doing the public announcing, Dale Carter.
Yes.
Who is a morning personality on another country radio station across town. And dare I say, a friend announced yesterday that he is resigning as the public announcement guy at Arrowhead Stadium after 16 years.
It's third down.
And that,
yeah.
You can read the story at Channel 5. I'm not going to get into it because one of our stations down the hall carries the Chiefs. But we do report the news. And Dale Carter is a very well-known person here in town, has called the Chiefs for 16 years at the stadium. And it had to do with his third down call. You could find the story at kctv.com. But Dale Carter said, I'm done. I'm out. And he is no longer going to be calling the games at Arrowhead.
I know I was gone yesterday, but I would be remiss if we did not mention Polly. Did not know that was her name. Polly Holiday, the sassy waitress on Alice, has died at the age of 88. I had not heard that name, Flo, in 40 years. But you immediately know who she is in your mind's eye.
Well, eat my grits.
Kiss my grits. You could also eat my grits, but it's kiss my grits. I can't believe she was 88. I would have thought she had long passed, but lived a long, beautiful life and died at the age of 88.
Here's the crazy thing. When the news broke, and it broke the same day as the Charlie Kirk story, I said to Mackie on the air, I said, oh my gosh, Flo died. He goes, Polly Holiday?
Oh, he knew exactly who she was.
He has an encyclopedic knowledge of Hollywood. It is weird.
Now, if you said Flo to most people, I think they think the progressive ad lady.
Nowadays they do. But he knew her name right off the bat. Polly Holiday died?
It says viewers of Alice could tell when Flo, a gum-chewing Southern diner waitress with an attitude, was perturbed. She would pause momentarily, address the offender in the sweetest tone, and then suggest deadpan, kiss my grits.
That's right. Sean White, the Olympic snowboarder, and Nina Dobrev have called off their engagement and brought an end to their five-year relationship.
Hmm.
The three-time Olympic champion snowboarder and the former star of The Vampire Diaries made a mutual decision to part. Huh. He's 39. She's 36. Okay. I guess they are no longer together. See, kids, don't get married. Sad story out of
Scott Parks.
What? I'm just giving free advice. They didn't even have to pay for that. Sad story here out of Annapolis at the Naval Academy. A law enforcement officer shot a student at the U.S. Naval Academy on Thursday during a lockdown that was prompted by online threats from someone who had been kicked out of the institution. Another one of these. By the way, I thought these college campus threats had died down.
Nope.
They're back, apparently. The shooting on the Annapolis, Maryland campus occurred after the midshipman, which is what all students at the academy are called, mistook a responding law enforcement officer as a threat.
Oh.
And struck the officer with a parade rifle used for training. The student that the law enforcement officer shot was hospitalized and is expected to be okay.
Wow.
So he sees law enforcement walking on campus. He thinks that's the threat. He hits the guy with the rifle. He's law enforcement, and he shoots the kid.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to. I'm telling you, this swatting stuff. By the way, the threat was, I believe it was emailed in by someone who had either flunked out or got kicked out of the Naval Academy, but they used an email address that made it look like it came from inside the Naval Academy.
Hmm.
And so everybody on campus took it very seriously.
Did you read how law enforcement, remember the manhunt that was going on for the lunatic that terrorized that poor elderly couple in Queens? Did you hear how they found him, how they were able to find him so quickly? This is the guy that was trying to get into several neighbors' doors, asking to charge his cell phone. Mm-hmm. No one would let him in.
Till the elderly couple in Queens.
The elderly couple in Queens. The man answered the door. He did not invite him in, it turns out. He answered the door, and then the suspect shoved his way inside. And there's some of that audio was caught on tape with the homeowner saying, "Get out of my house." Anyway, he is in that house 5 hours, Scott.
Yeah, I remember that.
Leaves after setting the fire, has admitted all of this to police, takes the elderly husband's credit cards, then leaves and goes on some sort of shopping spree with the family's credit cards.
I didn't know he was captured.
But then, but then signs his own name, and on one of the credit cards that he spent all the money at, you know, Walmart or Best Buy or wherever it was, used his rewards card information because, you know, after with a stolen credit card, I want to get my rewards points.
Mm.
And they were able to track him in real time using their credit cards. And that's how they got him off the streets. Thank God.
When did he get caught? That must have just drifted under the radar with all the news of this
week. 2 days ago, I think.
Which would have been the same time as Charlie Kirk and the Colorado school shooting.
Absolute homicidal maniac and is off the streets.
Okay.
Gotta get those rewards points.
Well, you do. You do. You never know when you're going to use them again. Story here from NBC News. The defense secretary is telling staff to find and identify military members and any individual associated with the Pentagon who have mocked or appeared to condone Charlie Kirk's murder. They will be kicked out, relieved of their jobs in the military when they are identified. Dozens of service members and civilian Pentagon employees have been called out on Twitter with their posts about Kirk highlighted and collected. I'm not going to read the tag.
There have been multiple firings today and calls for firings in the wake of what happened.
Good.
Yes.
Joby Aviation said this week that it plans to bring helicopter and seaplane services to the Uber app as soon as next year. Shares of the Santa Cruz, California-based air taxi maker rose more than 8.5% after the announcement. So in 2026, it's this company's hope you'll be able to order, instead of a car to take you where you need to go, a seaplane or a helicopter. Oof. How do I feel?
I feel like the technology is not there for this to be okay yet.
Joby, that's the name of the company, said that upon certification, it would target launching its electric air taxi services in Dubai, New York, Los Angeles, the UK, and Japan.
Who checks it pre-flight every time?
The pre-departure checklist, is that what you're asking about, Sam?
Pre-flight checklist, that's the
one. Is the pre-departure checklist complete? I don't know. There's no one on board.
Exactly. So it's all fun and games until there wasn't enough grease on that one propeller, and all of a sudden, our air taxi is now a regular taxi.
Got it. Don't go there.
All right.
Nah, probably not.
Some investors are turning to ChatGPT and other AI chatbots to help them manage their finances rather than sitting down with a certified financial planner. But is this a good idea? A new survey from Pearl.com, an AI firm, so it might be a little skewed here, suggests it may not be a good idea. According to the survey, 19% of Americans lost more than $100 by following the financial advice generated by an AI chatbot. That number jumps to 27% if you're a Gen Z investor losing money. I am not trusting AI with where to put my money.
And if you are, do you deserve to lose some of it?
Yes.
Now, you don't deny there are computer models behind almost every trade decision that's made at a high level.
I would not deny that. But I would like for
like
a
predictive
human,
models.
But I would like for a human being to look at it and say, okay, now wait a minute.
Also, you said 20% lost money?
Yeah.
That means 80 didn't.
Fair. Fair.
I mean, that's better than most returns.
All right, we've got Festivus Friday coming your way in 30 minutes. It is brought to you by Q39, serving championship barbecue, pit to plate, Q39KC.com.
A bride has confronted and confirmed the identity of a mystery wedding crasher after searching nonstop for 4 years.
Obsessed much?
This story is hilarious. From the New York Post. The bride said, I do not know that guy. Michelle Wiley has spent the last 4 years trying to uncover the identity of an uninvited wedding guest seen in multiple snapshots taken on her special day. And there you see her beaming, walking back down the aisle with her now husband. Mm-hmm. And in the background, there's a very tall dude kind of awkwardly standing.
Is he wearing white pants?
And clapping. He's wearing a suit.
Okay.
He's wearing a suit. It was always in the back of my mind. Quoting here from Wiley, now 38 years old. Who is that guy and why is he there? The millennial who tied the knot with her husband, John, at a Carlton hotel, spotted the suspicious attendee the second she got her pictures back from her big day. As soon as I got the sample of the wedding photos, I noticed it right away, she said. We all said, do you know who this is? We asked family, we asked friends. No one had any idea who this guy was. And he's pretty, like, prominently right there. Smaller wedding. You know, he's right
It doesn't look like there are a lot of people there.
No.
You're right.
Anyway, no one remembers who he is. And, in fact, in the big photo with everyone.
He's with Uncle Ned's kids.
He's way, way, way in the back. And we talked about this last week. Like, would you really know if someone was at your wedding that didn't belong there? Well, in this case, there looks to be only about 60 people total. So, yes, he stood out. Anyway. She can't figure out who he is, even goes to social media, can't figure it out. And then finally one day, she reaches out to a content creator with more than 400,000 Facebook fans and 200,000 TikTok followers and said, can you help me identify this man? And boom, within 2 hours, they had his identity. His name is Andrew Helleman. And he is not some sneaky creep who gets his jollies by invading sacred occasions for the free food and booze. Instead, he had made an innocent mistake. Quoting here from Helleman, I was at the wrong wedding. Mm-hmm. 4 years ago, he says, my partner was asked to be a bridesman for his friend in Michaela's wedding, and I was invited as his plus one. For some reason, he told me it was the Carlton Hotel at 2 p.m. It was actually being held at the Great Western Hotel. He had already left in the morning to help with whatever bridesmen do, and left me to make my own way to the wedding. He says, I was late. I ran in. I saw a bagpiper, and I thought, this is it. They were going to have a bagpiper, too. Cool. This is the right place.
Two weddings in one day, both with bagpipers in the same
city. He had only met the bride once and didn't expect to know anyone else at the wedding other than her and his partner. I parked my car, rushed inside, sat down. He says, bells started ringing in his head once Wiley, a perfect stranger, made her way down to the altar. The music started. Everyone stands up. He says, I turn around and I think, oh, my God, that's not Michaela. But you can't exactly stand up and walk out of a wedding mid-ceremony.
True.
So I had committed. I spent the next 20 minutes awkwardly sitting there trying to be inconspicuous.
Oh, that's hilarious.
After they swapped I do's, he said he slipped out and made his mistake. Made his
getaway. His getaway.
Isn't that hilarious?
That is very funny. Here's a story that I keep going back to that we had, I think it was yesterday, Sam, if I'm not mistaken. There's a new trend, and I'm not advocating this. I don't support this because it's thievery.
They met and they took a photo.
And that's lovely. That's lovely.
What is the new trend?
With mid-level hotels. Think Holiday Inn.
Okay.
What are some of the other ones, Sam? Like a Holiday Inn, not a Marriott. I think that would be too high up.
Sheraton?
Maybe a Sheraton. There's one place in Lincoln, Nebraska, when I go up to watch Nebraska football games, I stay at called the Victoria Inn Suites. Yeah.
The Ramada Inn would be another one.
Great example.
Red Roof.
Where people are showing up in the morning around 7 o'clock, maybe 7:30. I don't know if we're going to have enough time. And you just walk in the door like you own the place, like you're staying there.
Right.
Right? And you go to the bathroom for about 10 minutes and you just wait.
Okay.
Then you come out and you help yourself to the buffet.
To the continental breakfast?
That's correct. Because nobody ever comes up to you and says,
what room are you staying in?
Right. You just help yourself. You make your own waffle.
You've got to be kidding me.
You get the waffle mix and you put it on the griddle. And you pull down and you make your own waffle, or maybe you want biscuits and gravy. I don't know.
The continental breakfasts are always gross.
No, they're not.
You get the little cereal. Sometimes they have the little thing that you pull down and you get some cereal.
Choose between skim and whole milk.
Yes, there's a bowl of fruit. Maybe have a banana. I don't know if we'll have time.
Hard boiled egg.
Always gross.
The continental breakfasts, Scott, are never good.
Yogurt.
But if you're choosing between no food and a continental breakfast, I'm going continental breakfast.
Is it homeless people doing this or just anyone? Just it's like people. A trend.
Just it's like the new Wedding Crashers was a trend for a while.
I can't say I've never done it.
Are you serious?
You didn't admit to this yesterday.
I may have eaten at a continental breakfast at a hotel at which I was not staying before.
Well, did you know someone that was staying there?
I may or may not have.
Sam!
It only happened once.
Why did it happen?
Under what circumstance?
I was out traveling for work, and I was walking to get some breakfast, and there was a hotel.
Wait a minute, my gosh.
Popped in, grabbed some of the poured out scrambled eggs.
You're a continental breakfast crasher.
Sam, I've only known you to have three different jobs. Panera Bread, QT, and KMBZ. What other company would you have been at the young age of whatever it was? Would you have been traveling for work?
Oh,
my
I know.
Fourth job.
I know.
She knows.
He was selling glorious dips.
That's
is
right.
What he was doing.
I was a carny.
He was selling dips.
I forgot about your carny.
And then dipping into someone else's powdered eggs.
Huh. Interesting.
I may or may not have done that.
And what?
Are the phones ringing? Is this a thing? Are you guys doing this?
I bet they are.
Now, if they hadn't
Let me interrupt you for just a second to throw this into the conversation real quick. How do you get caught? It would be almost impossible.
Right, because sometimes the person checking in might have two or three people with them, adult children, a spouse. You would not have interfaced with everyone staying in a possible room with someone.
The person working at the front desk is working maybe midnight to 8 a.m. How do you know I didn't check in last night at 7?
Going, this is the weirdest thing I've ever heard
going
of.
Going with a backpack, it looks like you know what you're doing.
Or a roller suitcase. I mean, if you really want to play it up.
Well, but if you come in with a suitcase, it looks like you need to check in.
Mm. Well, so there's two things. You either need to be in the pajamas, and I just thought this through. I've only done it once, so I've never actually done this. But you either need to be in the pajamas, or if you have the roller suitcase, you're like dressed up like you're checking out that day.
Yeah, you're getting ready to check out.
Yeah.
Okay, let me ask you this. Now that it has leaked out that people are doing this, are we now going to have a Hampton Inn breakfast clerk?
You might.
I've also stayed at hotels traveling for the same job where it's in a locked room and you have to scan your key card to get into the Continental Breakfast Room.
Oh, that's what's going to end up happening.
Yeah.
They'll lock it away like the gym and the lukewarm hot tub.
From the text line, I used to work at one of the radio stations here in town, and we had a guy, an overnight guy, who used to leave the radio station at about 5 in the morning and leave Westport and hit the Embassy Suites breakfast on the way back to his apartment between Westport and the Plaza. Finally, staff got onto him and figured out what he was doing. So then he used to stop by the promotions office, grab a bunch of free movie passes and T-shirts and give it to them. He pulled this stunt off for years.
Oh, my gosh. It's not like you're getting bacon and...
They have bacon. It's a little rubbery, but it's bacon.
It's very thin.
Okay.
Now, if they don't have the carton egg or the rubbery bacon, I'm walking out, free or not. Keep your muffin.
I can't. You know what? It's a lot of those little mini muffins.
You take that muffin and shove
it. Yeah.
Chalky mini muffins.
Keep that nasty little muffin.
913-586-7798. Festivus Friday coming your way in about 14 minutes here on Dana and Parks.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you know
Browns
why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
What is wrong with you people?
Free food is free food, man.
It's not free.
Now, I did feel so guilty after I did it that I never did it again, despite having the option of doing it every single day.
If they didn't want you to take it, they wouldn't just lay it out there.
That's right.
It is by the check-in counter for a reason.
I could see it from the sidewalk.
Okay.
Bruce in Raytown. Bruce, hello.
Yeah, I was doing wood carving, and I had my own trailer. I built a concession trailer that I could live in, and I had everything I needed inside the trailer, but I'd open it up when the show opened, but I'd get up every morning early and walk to the showers, because all these big arenas have showers, and I saved myself a lot of money by not having to go to a motel and driving all around town to try to find something to eat. And I was walking away from the shower, and I noticed this door open and a bunch of people in there eating breakfast, so I just stepped in there. And I thought, well, why not? So I just helped myself and had wonderful. I mean, they had all gourmet breakfast stuff, everything you can imagine.
Do they have biscuits and gravy?
Oh, yeah, they had everything.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And I stuffed myself, and I had my own food in my trailer, but I thought, why not? It's a free meal. And then I realized, I started talking to people and at the table, and then somebody said, what do you do? I said, oh, I'm a lawyer. And that's all I had to say. And and I realized it was the Dallas Cowboys.
No way.
Yeah. And somebody, and I noticed these guys were big, you know, a lot of them were pretty good sized fellas. And I thought, you know, they had their wives with them and stuff like that. And I was just by myself. I had my towel and wash rag and my soap with me. And so, because I just took a shower, and I just kind of tucked it underneath the chair and sat down and started eating.
I'll be done.
Wow.
But I found out every morning there was this breakfast there with a different group. So I just, every morning, I just had breakfast there.
Bruce, how many days in a row?
Three.
You say 23?
Three.
3 days in a row, yeah.
All right, man. Terry in Kansas City. Hello, Terry.
Hello.
Hi.
So I am a general manager of one of those select service hotels you were referring to.
Yes.
And we have cameras, and we watch where you come from, and we know who you are, and don't think we know who you are, because we do.
Are you onto this scam, Terry? Had you heard about this before?
Oh, it happens very frequently, very frequently. And we do catch them, and we have security that stays up there with our breakfast. So, yeah.
Okay. What do you say when someone is caught and you know, you look at security, they just wandered in off the street. They start their second helping of biscuits and gravy. And then what do you say?
Well, they usually don't get that far, because we usually catch them and go, excuse me, are you a guest in the hotel? And what room are you in? Can I see your key card?
Oh.
Yes. We try to be quiet and inconspicuous, because we don't want to, you know, cause a scene or anything. Because usually if they know they're caught, they usually go, oh, sorry. And I go, well, you need to leave the hotel. It's for hotel guests only.
How many times a week would you say this occurs?
Maybe two or three.
Oh, my gosh. Terry, I had never heard about this until today.
Yeah, I've been at this hotel for many years, and it happens 2-3 times a week.
Now, tell me if this would be suspicious to you, Terry, and don't name your hotel. I don't want to get you in trouble. But you guys are watching the parking lot on camera, and here I roll in my car. I get out, put on my baseball cap, throw on a backpack, you know, like I'd just been out running some errands or whatever. And I just come in. I go to the bathroom where I hide out for 10 minutes, which is the recommendation.
Oh, yeah.
And then I come out and I go straight for the buffet. Would that be suspicious?
Yes, because you have to go right past the front desk to go to the restroom. And we've already watched it come in off the street.
There you go.
But I pulled into my car.
No, I'm going to tell everybody listening, Terry is on to your scheme.
It's not mine.
Exactly.
All right. Well, you have a wonderful weekend.
We watch you. Okay. Thank you. You as well.
All right. Be good.
3 times a week?
Brian in Kearney, we've got 30 seconds. Can you do it?
I'll make it quick for you.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So I don't know if I can say or not, but there's a hotel up by the airport that has a wonderful continental breakfast. And about 3 or 4 times a year, I would go up to my office and for some training. Well, I would go in and have breakfast in the morning, and then at the end of the night, they also have a manager's happy hour that's free as well with snacks and drinks. And if you give them a pretty good tip, you can drink for a couple of hours for free on the hotel as well.
All right. Okay. You guys are a bunch of crooks. Hey, Festivus Friday is next. Our favorite hour of the
week. It's Brian.
913-586-7798. Get in early. Festivus is coming up in just a moment.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.